Welcome to the Dry Eye Coach podcast series, Click on Dry Eye, your insider pass to the most exclusive dry eye topic. The series will raise awareness about the current and future state of ocular surface disease. The podcast will focus on a variety of topics. In today's episode, we have the pleasure of speaking with our friend and colleague, Damon Durker, who practices at Eye Surgeons of Indiana in Indianapolis. We're going to be talking to him all about innovations in dry eye. Welcome, Damon.
Welcome, Damon.
Hey, Tracy. Hey, Walt. How are you doing?
Awesome. Thank you. Glad you're here.
Excited to be here.
Why don't we get this thing kicked off with you telling us about your practice, what kind of modality you're in, and what are the things that you're focusing on?
Yeah, so I'm a partner at Eye Surgeons of Indiana. We have 5 locations in central Indiana, 2 surgery centers. For referral practice, you know, probably 70 to 80% of our business is refractive cataract surgery. We do have medical retina. And then I've had a dedicated dry eye center for the last 6 years at our Indianapolis office. And then a new challenge for 2022 is in our second surgery center location, which is in Lafayette, about an hour up the road. I'm actually going to develop a second dry eye center. So I'm excited about that.
So Damon, how and why did you get started? I mean, you and I have had this conversation, but can you share with our listeners how you got started in dry eye?
Yeah, so I've been practicing for about 20 years, all at Eye Surgeons, and I actually started out in retina and did a retina fellowship and kind of, you know, acted as a liaison between our retina specialist and the optometric community and did that for a few years, and that was good. But I just saw what was happening, you know, 10, 12 years ago in the dry eye space and the diagnostics and therapeutics, and looked around and there really wasn't anybody in central Indiana doing this really well. The cornea specialist didn't really care about dry eye ocular surface disease. And I just saw so many patients in our practice that needed help. So I took it upon myself to learn as much as I could and really work at becoming a better dry eye clinician. And, you know, 10 years ago, that was not the easiest thing to do. There wasn't a lot of resources out there, a lot of conversations with colleagues and reading trade journals and looking up things in my, you know, spare time and just learning as much as I could. And, you know, I really enjoyed the process, but I also looked at it and said, well, I can't really expect my eye care colleagues to go through that same process that I did. So one of the things that I've done in addition to building a dry eye center and leading our community here in central Indiana is really work with folks like Tracy and Walt to develop education programs so that it's a little bit easier for our colleagues to embrace dry eye, understand the why, and then really have a patient-centric approach so that you can be successful really in any sort of eye care setting. So it's been quite the journey over the past 10 years, and that's moved into the virtual space now with education, but I've enjoyed every minute of it. And at the same time, I love, you know, tomorrow is a dry eye day. I have 30 patients in my Indianapolis clinic that need a lot of help, and I enjoy doing those things on a day-to-day basis, but I also really enjoy engaging with colleagues to help them take better care of their patients as well.
Hey, Damon, a lot of us know that you started dry eye boot camp. Do you ever wear your fatigues in clinic?
I don't. I have worn the dog tags occasionally just for fun. But, you know, sometimes our patients are pretty savvy, and I get a fair number of self-referral, you know, people that have found us on Facebook groups or web search. And occasionally I get asked about dry eye boot camp from patients, so that's always fun. And you know, I it's something that dry eye boot camp is still on the back burner. It's on hiatus right now. Live in-person education is still a little bit of a challenge in the way that we want to do that in a boot camp setting, but I would predict at some point there'll be a reincarnation of boot camp in some form.
No, we want to give kudos to you and a shout out, because I mean, when it comes to education, you definitely helped lead the charge with that dry eye boot camp, and then now with Eyes on Dry Eye. And so keep up the good work on that, but I'm totally digressing, Tracy, so you can get us back on track.
That's okay. We just love how innovative you are and how at the edge of the field you are, and how much you just have a passion for not only your patients, but for all of your contemporaries that are in the field. So thank you for all the work that you've put in. But yeah, I'll go ahead and get us back on track. Since you're an innovative guy, let's talk about what's the newest innovative treatments that have come to the marketplace. Topical steroids to, you know, intranasal sprays for dry eye disease. What are your thoughts and your experiences on some of the newest things that have come out this year?
Yeah, so now in the US, you know, we have 5 pharmaceutical agents that are approved for dry eye or K-Cica, and 3 in just the last 2 years with Cequa and Isuvis and Tyrvaya. And I think that, you know, looking at that in combination with Xiidra Restasis, you know, we've got 5 tools that I'm using regularly, and that's just the pharmaceutical agents. So, you know, having the ability now to have a preservative-free nasal spray to, you know, improve natural tear production, basically tears on demand with a Tyrvaya and varenicline, I think that has been a nice addition. You know, we've just had that for the last 6 weeks or so. I probably have 40 or so patients that are on that. I have a couple patients where we've had, you know, success, and we're just starting to see these patients back in the clinic. I don't think I have a home run patient, you know, a patient that I can, you know, shout out to the world, say, boy, this was the greatest thing ever for this patient. But I'm starting to get these, you know, doubles and triples, which I like too. And I just had a patient today who was actually one of our technicians, but she's got pretty significant dry eye, and the nasal spray has been really the most effective option that she's had. And she's had quite a bit of therapy in the past. So I think having that has been a great addition. Having, you know, Isuvis on label to treat dry eye flares, and just understanding how common those flares are. And, you know, one of the things that I'm starting to do now, especially my follow-up patients, is having more intelligent conversations to help guide what adjunctive therapy they may need. You know, a lot of these patients, we've done IPL or thermal pulsation, or maybe they're on a immunomodulator. But then these patients that are having flares, and we specifically ask, you know, when's the last time you had a bad day? Do you ever have symptoms that you feel like you can't get under control? As those are patients that just do really well with Isuvis, and having that on label for the last year or so, I use routinely. And then if someone is using teardrops on a regular basis, more than occasional, I introduce the concept of Tyrvaya. As you know, if we got the ability to make natural tears, why do we want to settle for an artificial tear? So think about that as just a couple of the innovations there. And we haven't even got into the things in the dry eye device space or some of the things that are common. So I think that what's been interesting is just every tool we want to understand, we really want to analyze that and understand where the place is and where the role is for those patients in our practice. And I enjoy that challenge in understanding how to best use the tools that are out there for eye care practitioners. So the innovation is just, I get excited about everything that comes out, because it's like, all right, I can help some more patients that I couldn't help yesterday. And I think it's exciting time to be a dry eye doctor, that's for sure.
So can you tell us about your conversation with the patient when it comes to, you mentioned Tyrvaya. So what are you telling them?
So I let them know that we now have a new medication that's approved for signs and symptoms of dry eye. It's actually a nasal spray. And actually about a third of our natural tear production comes from stimulation within just inside our nostrils. And patients, you would think that patients would be maybe skeptical about this, but in a dry eye setting where they know that I'm going to be doing everything I can to help them, they have a huge amount of trust in what we're doing in our clinic. So when I introduce this concept, they're ready to go. And I say it's one of the, you know, that it's a dry eye medication now that we have that works immediately. You know, it works within the first 5 minutes, and we don't have any medication like that in the past. So a nasal spray twice a day, instead of, you know, trying to shoot it up towards your brain, you're actually going to, you know, aim more towards your ear. You're just trying to get inside that nasal passage in the inferior turbinate. But I tell my patients it's more or less tears on demand. We use a nasal spray to stimulate the nerve to make more natural tears. It works immediately. And this is something that should be a nice welcome addition to their regimen.
So you said you've seen a couple patients back. How's the sneezing been? Because we know that's the most common side effect.
Right.
Well, so sneezing is going to be, you know, 85% of patients at some point in the clinical studies had some sneezing. You know, I used it for a couple of weeks. I'm not a dry eye patient. I have MGD, but I proactively manage that. I really don't want to get dry eye. But sneezing, when I first used it, I had four or five real hard sneezes. And I would probably say that it took me two or three applications before maybe I got good at how to do it properly. So now when I have used it here recently, it's maybe an occasional sneeze. So I tell my patients, expect to sneeze. That's not a problem. It's not something that's going to make you not want to be on it. But it is unique in the fact that that's just an expectation. At some point, you're going to sneeze. But it's as long as you can tell patients ahead of time what's going to happen, whether it's burning with eye drops that you use for dry eye or the sneezing with Tyrvaya, I think that patients welcome that information up front. I think we get into trouble if we don't have that conversation, then they call back and say, hey, Dr. Dirk, I was sneezing. What the heck is going on? I think it's really on us to be able to set appropriate expectations. But the sneezing has, I've not had a patient that has discontinued because of sneezing in the 30 to 40 patients that we've had on it so far.
Tracy, what about you?
I'm actually a non-sneezer, funny enough. So yeah. Ask about my personal experience, but yeah, I'm a non-sneezer. I haven't had any patient discontinue it yet because of the sneezing. Most of them are just looking, they want to actually use it more often than just the FDA indication for twice a day, because you do feel the tears. So they actually want to use it more than just the twice a day is what's interesting that I'm finding, but it is only indication.
What do you tell them, Jason?
I tell them that it's really only indicated right now for twice a day. We have it looked at more frequently. So I'd be interested in knowing what you say about it, but I'm only twice a day right now because I don't know much past that. But they like the sensation because you really can actively feel it putting tears on your eyes.
Yeah, I haven't had a patient ask me about using it more often yet. Mm-hmm. That is definitely coming. And mm-hmm. I think my advice would be that at this point, we just don't have enough information to be able, we really don't have any information to guide us on more than twice a day use. But mm-hmm. I think what we will find is our patients are going to do what they're going to do, right? And we're going to have patients that don't care that we say it's twice a day. They're going to use it 3, 4, 5 times a day. And hopefully some of those patients will tell us that and we'll make sure that they're doing okay. And then I can maybe share down the road if there is positive, you know, anecdotal reports of people having success using it more than twice a day, or maybe someone will do a IIT or something in that area. I think that at this point, I'm using it primarily as adjunctive therapy. You know, mm-hmm. probably these patients are on some sort of anti-inflammatory or even a combination of whether it's a nutraceutical and IPL or maybe, you know, immunomodulator. As their core therapy, using this as supplemental, I think is a nice sweet spot there. But I think as we understand who the best patients are with our experience, is probably going to be a primary treatment for a lot of patients as well. And in the studies, it was used as primary therapy.
Don't worry, we'll get you back and ask you more of those questions as we will get more experience. But me too, I'm trying it everywhere. And I had a patient the other day that said she sneezed at first, but it got less and less over time. But, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I like to take us off track. And so when we're looking at innovation, Vuity, how's it been working for you? Because I tried it.
Yeah, I would say that it has been very interesting. You know, Vuity had samples now for maybe 2 weeks. I was not involved in the studies. So this is the first time I've had my hands on it. And I'm 45, but I'm not quite presbyopic yet, if you can believe that. Slightly undercorrected in one eye after LASIK 15 years ago. And I used it a few times. I definitely could see a little bit of difference, but it wasn't enough for me that it would make sense. I think probably 3 or 4 years from now, I'm going to be reaching for Vuity or similar as my presbyopia becomes a little bit more blatant. But I've had, you know, at this point with just the timing of things and holidays, is most of my experience initially has been with technicians and staff, as well as a couple of family members. Mm-hmm. And I've had somewhere, you know, a 50-year-old who's a +1 wears a contact lens in one eye for near and kind of, you know, fights through the other eye. She put it in both eyes. She said, wow, this is just amazing work, you know, send the prescription in. So I think it's going to be something that, again, like with all of these innovations, it's really up to us to judiciously prescribe these things right out of the gate so we can understand who is going to be the best candidate and who's going to be the early adopter.
Yeah.
So I've been pretty impressed so far with what I've seen. And it's something that I think it's just going to be individual, because I've had others that have tried and said, yeah, you know, I've maybe had a little bit of a headache or a little bit of dim vision, which, you know, those things can occur. So I think it's going to be something that will be much better at prescribing maybe 3 to 6 months from now. But right now I am offering it to patients where it makes sense. But in my practice, I'm not really managing presbyopia all day, every day. You know, we don't do any sort of primary eye care. I've never fit a contact lens in clinical practice beyond a bandage lens. I don't write glasses prescriptions. So most of what I'll be doing is helping to engage and educate our community and our primary care optometrists about the role of pharmacotherapy for presbyopia, and then using it selectively in some patients, maybe in ocular surface disease clinic, or maybe they don't have a primary care optometrist and they don't really want to wear glasses or contacts, and we'll talk about that option. So I think it's definitely going to be the start of something big. And 2022, we're going to hear a lot about presbyopia. But I've been impressed so far with Vuity.
So now you're going to see Tracy where I bring it back in. So Damon, since this is for dry eye coach and click on dry eye.
Right.
For a chronic medication, patient's going to be presbyopic. So, you know, upper 40s, 50s, and more mature. What are your thoughts on the ocular surface and using Vuity?
Yeah, so we do know it has BAK as a preservative, and, you know, that's three nasty letters in the OSD community is BAK, right? But there's so many things that we have, even, you know, medications in the dry eye space, you know, EYSUVIS BAK, and, you know, Lumify has BAK. So I think that there's things that our patients are using maybe not chronically, you know, that we are going to be okay with having a preservative like that. I think it's too early to tell. We didn't really see dry eye issues in the studies to get Vuity approved, but it's definitely on my radar as something to pay attention to, especially if they're on any sort of other BAK containing agents. I think we have to be aware of it, but it's not something that at this point I've seen any issues with, obviously in limited experience in just a couple of weeks. But I think that we have to weigh the pros and cons, just like anything else that we do for our patients.
So maybe for our severe dry patients, if they wanted to try this, it'd be a once in a while thing, but not a daily drop.
I think that's reasonable. And I think, again, reiterating that as long as we set appropriate expectations for patients, you know, I don't think we're going to have any drop that's going to make it totally eliminate other things that we may need to do to manage their presbyopia. So I think if we position it correctly and that our, you know, severe dry eye patients know that this may be an option, but may not be an everyday option, I think that sets the appropriate expectation.
So speaking of new technologies, are there any new diagnostic technologies that you're aware of that we should be out on the lookout for now?
Not so much on the diagnostic side right now. I think we've got really pretty good diagnostics, and, you know, I'm a big advocate of point of care diagnostics with tear osmolarity and MP9 and the use of mibography. I definitely encourage colleagues to get videography into their practice as well. That's just been so huge with patient education, be able to track those things. I think on the therapeutic side, and I'd be interested to hear what you guys think as well, is I think there's more of an emphasis of treating ocular surface disease and dry eye as a dermatologic disease, right? With photobiomodulation, low-level light therapy, IPL, but some of the things that are coming with, you know, managing patients with Demodex blepharitis, with Tarsus, their product that maybe we'll have in a year and a half, and then, you know, Azura having a keratolytic that basically is Celsin Blue, active ingredient that is going to melt away those keratinized plugs is treating dry eye more like a dermatologist and maybe a little bit less like an optometrist. Do you guys see us going in that direction?
I do. So many of my patients, their dry eye is stemming from dermatological conditions, because it's not just the eyeballs sitting there plainly, they're covered by lids that are covered with skin. So, and a lot of inflammation comes from different skin diseases. So I have to say I concur.
Yeah, definitely. And then, you know, the other thing that were, there were several studies and press releases is NOVO3, which is essentially a single chemical entity that is gonna be for the signs and symptoms for dry eye disease in patients with MGD. And essentially theoretically it's gonna help remove some of those obstructions within the meibomian glands. And so in one of the studies of the CK study, it improved both the symptoms, but also total corneal staining for those patients. So I'm pretty excited about that. That one diagnostic technology, I know you've been working with this as well, Damon, is the iLux squared. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh yeah. So as far as diagnostic, you know, mibography is not new. Thermal pulsation is not new, but having that in one product with iLux squared, you know, having a thermal pulsation device with built-in mibography, I actually had a little bit of a chance to work with that. And, you know, that should be available here in early 2022, is, you know, having a capability to have that diagnostic and therapeutic in one handheld device that's mobile within the clinic, be able to have a little bit better visualization as you're, you know, removing those meibomian gland obstructions, being able to capture mibography, capture videos to educate your patients. The video is just spectacular, what's coming out of that iLux Square. So I do look at that as not necessarily a new technology, because we've had those tools, but having those put together in a device that's going to be, you know, easier for people that want to get in this game as eye care providers, to be able to invest in a single product that's going to be both a diagnostic and therapeutic. I do think that that's pretty innovative.
Well, definitely. And, you know, whether it's diagnostic or therapeutic, I mean, we didn't even go into the whole RASP inhibitors. And we know that there's current studies on that as well. And so looking at, you know, the inflammatory levels within the body, but if there's a way we can inhibit that, it's only going to help our patients. And so that's still in the early studies, but I'm excited to hear more about that. Anything else you're super excited about there, Damon?
Yeah, so I think what's going to be the challenge, and I think you'll both agree, is now that there's so many tools and we're starting to have a better grasp of, you know, what's causing dry eye, we, you know, so many different factors, but we have a much better handle on things than we did 10 years ago. As if our colleagues aren't embracing this now, what is it going to be like in 3 to 5 years when the number of different tools in our tool belt maybe double or triple what they are now? Is like, how do you even start then at that point? So I would definitely, you know, put the shout out that is, it's, if you're not getting in the dry eye game now, it's going to be a lot harder a couple of years from now because of the rapid growth of technology in this sector. So that's why we have, you know, Eyes on Dry Eye, Dry Eye Bootcamp in the past. We've got the podcast, you know, with Walt and Tracy here. These are great opportunities to be able to engage and innovate and just collaborate, but get started now, because the future is bright. And, you know, the things that we've talked about as far as innovations, those are just in the next couple of years. We hopefully will have access to those things. And it's an exciting time. Again, I said it before, but it's really a pleasure to be able to have access to new diagnostic and therapeutic tools to help our patients.
Well, that's awesome. Well, hey, thank you so much, Damon, for your time and expertise in sharing innovations in ocular surface disease with our listeners. So thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity. Be safe, everybody, and I hope to talk again soon.
Bye, Damon.